Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere. And you know, a lot of people have been asking me why I finally let Tags win when we did a mock draft on our last mocked episode. Look, I counted up all the episodes from this preseason before that one. I realized I was actually only one ahead of Tags in the standings, so I want to let him even it up so we could have a rubber match, and that's what we're doing today, okay? In fact, I heard they were going to name the winner of today's mock draft the most handsome fantasy football expert, which means, of course, we had to bring in Chris Harris of the Harris Football Podcast to defend his 2018 title. Chris has his own podcast at Harris Football, and he's also great at breaking down film on his YouTube channel at youtube.com/HarrisFootball. Chris, really appreciate you coming on.
Of course. I've got a little Los Angeles in the background for you.
There you go. Sounds great. Tags, how you doing, man? How'd you feel about that intro?
Los Angeles is probably a lot nicer view than my backyard is. It's full of people cutting down trees and redoing their decks and things like that. So I wish I kind of had the view that Chris has right now. But outside of that, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, good. Well, I'm really surprised you didn't bite on the whole thing about me throwing the last one. But
I'm not buying into your bullcrap.
Okay, well, let's start the draft. And here's what we're doing today, okay? It's a full PPR mock draft. I don't like when people say full PPR. Why did I say that? It's 1 point PPR, and we're drafting typical rosters. One quarterback, two running backs, three wideouts, a flex, a tight end defense, and then five bench spots. So this is going to move a little bit quicker than a lot of other podcasts have gone at the end. We're going to get a draft grade, and the winner is the most handsome fantasy football expert of 2019. All right, guys, before we really get underway, I want to tell you about an opportunity with NFL Game Pass. Only with NFL Game Pass do you get every out-of-market preseason game live. And with preseason underway, you can start now with NFL Game Pass. You can get a first look at all the rookies and all the players on new teams. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. I'm most excited to watch this Arizona Cardinals team again. They looked incredible in their first preseason game, and it's just exciting to see Cliff Kingsbury bring the air raid to the NFL. With NFL Game Pass, I can watch the Arizona Cardinals because I'm out of market. If I miss the game, I can replay it after it's aired. Whatever game you want to watch this preseason, you'll need NFL Game Pass to do so if you're out of market. Can the Browns show early signs of being a playoff contender? Do the Cowboys have all the pieces in place to make a run in the NFC? What about the Jets? Can they challenge the Patriots in the AFC East this season? Make sure to see all the action this preseason with NFL Game Pass. Best of all, you can kick off the 2019 NFL season with a 7-day free trial of NFL Game Pass. Sign up now at NFL.com/fantasypros. Okay, so the draft is starting. Hey, by the way, this is going to be on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros, so you can see what all the premium features look like, and you'll be able to see the full draft board with all our faces and reactions to picks. Chris, you've got the number 2 pick. You're coming up here. Who are you going to go with?
So it looks like Saquon went 1.
So you've got your choice of McCaffrey, Kamara, or you can do something else if you want to reach for a wide receiver, be my guest.
Oh, you mean I can't take Zeke Elliott and just assume that... he's going to come back and be okay? I'm not allowed?
I don't have a problem with that. I think he's coming back too, but...
Yeah, so Zeke Elliott's for me.
Okay.
I'm going to be risk embracing here, and this may actually wind up determining a lot of my strategy the rest of the time. If I weren't going to go risk here, it would be Alvin Kamara. It probably wouldn't be McCaffrey for me. PPR, very tempting for McCaffrey. I sort of have I mean, a thing on my podcast about tiny bones, just worrying about guys who are smaller who get big workloads. And obviously McCaffrey couldn't possibly have gotten a bigger workload last year. Devontae Freeman is what comes to mind. Steve Slayton is what comes to mind. I'm scared of McCaffrey at two. So
okay,
my answer change at some point, yes, but I'm going to draft Zeke Elliott.
There you go.
You know what? It's really interesting. Whenever we have people on the podcast, it's one of two sides. People are like me and you, Chris, and they're like, you know what? I'm going to embrace the risk because if he plays, I've got the best fantasy football player. And then there's some other people who are just like, I'm not doing that. I'm not losing my draft in round one. And there's, of course, a chance that Zeke does that. I don't think anyone's going to do it after what happened with Le'Veon Bell last year. Now, I've got the eighth pick. By the way, I would have taken Kamara tags. Is that who you would have gone with? Is that who you have 1-1 right now?
Yeah, I had Ezekiel Elliott 1-1, but with the concerns around him, you know, if I knew that he was going to play, I'd take Zeke number one. He's been my number one pick over Saquon Barkley. But yeah, Alvin Kamara would probably have been my number two pick. Like in this situation with Zeke, I'm slowly moving him back. I haven't moved him out of the first round or anything because I do think he is eventually going to show. But if someone told me they didn't want to draft him because there's just too much risk, I don't blame them.
Yeah, sure. So the first six off the board were all running backs, which is kind of surprising in a PPR league. Every draft is different on Draft Wizard. Hopkins went number seven, and then I've got my choice of Davante Adams, Julio Jones. I could go a running back. I like Gurley, but I'm not taking him here in a PPR draft. For me, it's Julio Jones. You look at DeAndre Hopkins, in the last 5 years, he hasn't had a single season as good as Julio Jones average over the last 5 years. I know Jones hasn't scored as many touchdowns. He really started to heat up in that way at the end of last season. And I trust him right now, especially in a PPR league, to get a lot of receptions. He's my number one wideout this year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy that you took Julio. I mean, it's not a bad pick. There's a top tier of wide receivers. And fortunately, I got my number one wide receiver at number 110. So I'm pretty excited to get Davante Adams here. Davante Adams just seems like I just think last year we saw his floor with Aaron Rodgers, you know, throwing 25 touchdowns. I know a lot of them went to Adams, but he is the go-to. You know, we have questions about Geronimo Allison and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Is Jimmy Graham falling off a cliff? Is there a timeshare running back? I just think Davante Adams is one stable player in that offense. And, you know, Chris, he's gotten better every year, right?
I'll tell you what. So for that almanac that I do, I give grades for all the players across a lot of different things. And I used to give Davante Adams like a D for hands. And every year, I feel like by 2020, he's going to have an A-, because every year it's like he gets a quarter of a grade higher.
Yeah. He did.
He had a better year last year. He still had drops last year, but that's my only concern with him.
You know, I saw this on Twitter, and I wish I remembered who said it. I really wish I could give them credit because it's an amazing stat. If you take Davante Adams' worst game last year, extrapolate it to 16 games, he still finished as a wide receiver one. I love that stat so much. Isn't that nuts, man?
Yeah, he didn't have a single game under 16 PPR points last year. That's just stupid good. That's consistent. So to get him at 110, needless to say, I'm ecstatic. I'd probably take him at 1-6 in a PPR format if Zeke fell or whatever. But it's back to me at 2-3. I'm probably going to regret if I pass on running back here. So I'm just going to go ahead and snag James Conner. I know he's evolved in the passing game. Joe Mixon right now, I am not reaching for Mixon. I honestly don't think I'd take Mixon in the second round right now with the concerns I have about that offense. At least Connor, we know he runs behind a solid offensive line. There are some threats in the offense. I'm not as worried about the timeshare concerns as some are. So James Connor and Davante Adams at, you know, winding up with that number 10 pick, which I don't necessarily like. I don't feel bad about this.
Yeah, that's a nice start, man. And by the way, Todd Gurley went at 1-9. A couple other guys off the board, Nick Chubb, obviously Michael Thomas. Joe Mixon went right in between tags and I. And this is really strange. So I could go running back here. I would definitely pick Dalvin Cook if I went running back. He's the number one on the ECR board. He's number one on my board as well. But the thing is, there's so many running backs who are going to fall in PPR leagues in the third, fourth, fifth round that I absolutely adore that I feel comfortable taking a wide receiver here. And this is going to be my first share in any mock draft of Juju Smith-Schuster. I'm a little bit lower on him than the industry, but right now he's sitting here at 13 ECR, and we know he's going to get peppered with targets. Juju's a great talent. He's going to be sticking in the slot for most of the time. So I'll gladly start with Julio Jones and Juju Smith-Schuster. And Chris, we're going back to you for your second pick at 211.
We had Tyreek Hill go, Dalvin Cook, Melvin Gordon goes. Oh man, I can't go Zeke and Melvin Gordon. This is
would you have done that?
I doubt it.
Okay.
I'm risk embracing. I don't know if I'm that risk. It actually breaks my heart because Antonio Brown went right before me, and I definitely would have gone Antonio Brown there. I like him a lot more than a lot of people. I think we've seen Evans go right before me. That was a bummer. I think we haven't seen Adam Thielen go yet.
He's still there.
That's right. So Adam Thielen would probably be in a PPR I hate passing up on Keenan Allen because he is a favorite of mine, a favorite upon favorite. But maybe, just maybe, I luck out. And I would love to be able to go Thielen Allen. I'll stick to my board. In a standard, it would be Allen. In a PPR, it's going to be Thielen. Listen, you can fit a whisker between them. I think they're both awesome, but I'll take Thielen.
That's a good way to put it. So Thielen, Keenan Allen taken right after you. Leonard Fournette taken.
That's just not cool. I mean, that's just not cool, guys. That's just not cool, robot. It's not all right. All right, so now I've got Zeke and I've got Adam Thielen. I kind of can't go Diggs, can I? I'm going to go to you. I'm going to go T.Y.
I don't know if it's a bad strategy.
If you don't go Diggs, I'm going Diggs. Well, I don't know if he'll drop to me. Right now, Pick Predictor says 52% chance he's gone before my pick.
Right. So I probably won't go Diggs as much as I loved it. And actually, in standard, I have Diggs rated ahead of Thielen. It's sort of a flip-flop for PPR. I'm going to go Hilton. I'm going to be risk-embracing. Andrew Luck is a concern. In the end, I think it'll wind up being not as much of a concern as people have made of it to this point. If I get Jacoby Brissett at quarterback, this is going to be a bad pick. This is going to be a bad pick. But yeah, Hilton, completely rock solid. Probably rock solid anyway, but really rock solid with some upside if there's luck. So that's what I'm supposed to pick according to ECR, and that's who I'm going to pick.
You know, even with Jacoby Brissett, when Andrew Luck was out, T.Y. Hilton was a wide receiver too again. But even with Andrew Luck, he's a wide receiver too. Like, that's just who he is. I don't love his upside, but at this point in the draft, yeah, I think that's a really solid pick. Okay, so as we're waiting, I just want to mention that our draft simulation software is a powerful software that allows you to finish mock drafts in as little as 5 minutes while giving you pick-by-pick advice along the way. Premium users can get even more out of the draft simulator, though. Premium subscribers have access to custom draft support, advanced draft analysis, and our pick predictor, which gauges the percent odds that any player remaining will be drafted before your next pick. MVP and Hall of Fame users can even perform auction simulations and practice mock drafts with their league's keepers, too. Use our draft simulator to crush the competition today at fantasypros.com/simulator. And also, we have an amazing offer that's going to grant you access to all those premium features, along with all our other premium tools and content for free. All you have to do is go to fantasypros.com/offers and make a $10 deposit at one of our partner DFS sites, and you'll get 6 months of our Hall of Fame package, a $65 value, for free. Claim this offer and go premium for free today at fantasypros.com/offers. This offer is only valid to new Yahoo DFS, Monkey Knife Fight, DraftKings, or FanDuel users. Now, guys, Stephon Diggs did drop to me. And I do like Adam Thielen a little bit more, but Stephon Diggs, 102 receptions last year. That's money in a PPR league. I know I don't have a running back yet, but you know what? I'm going to clean up in rounds, I guess, 4, 5, and 6 is what I'm going to have to do, because I'm not passing up on Stephon Diggs. And this is why we do the mock drafts, right? This is how we figure out, hey, I did not like my team when I started 3 wide receivers, or I find out, hey, maybe I should do this. So here we go, Stephon Diggs, and we'll see what happens.
And let me say this, Bobby. So on the YouTube channel that you mentioned, I have a show coming out. I don't know if it'll already be out by the time we do this, but I'm doing 5 best route runners in the league. And Diggs is 2. Diggs is a freaking ridiculous route runner.
Is Keenan Allen number 1?
Keenan Allen's number 1, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, Tags, who are you taking, buddy?
All right, so I was, if you passed on Diggs, I was like, I'll take a gift there. But, you know, Connor, as much as I'm okay with him there, he's kind of like a back end one for me. I feel like I need to bolster my running back unit. And I know I'm tying another, you know, name to the Packers, but I've been saying all offseason that Aaron Jones is my guy. I believe the talent gap is just too big there for Matt LaFleur to ignore. And the guy that was the number 5 fantasy running backs from week 8 through 14, you know, when he was the starter. So I have to think anything's an upgrade over Mike McCarthy. So Aaron Jones, risky, sure, but to have as your RB2, I am completely down with that. And
Chris, how do you feel about that pick? Because I know you watch a ton of film and you're more of a believer. I hope I'm not putting words in your mouth that the cream rises to the top. Is Aaron Jones by far the best running back in this backfield? And do you believe they'll use him that way?
I think he's by far. I don't know why they didn't use him that way last year. It feels to me like there's stuff that we don't consider that they probably know that
perhaps,
that
yeah,
maybe the new coaching staff could inherit. So listen, Tag said it right. There's all the upside in the world to take him right there. I have no problem with that pick at all that Tag's made. As he said, like if he said, well, this is ridiculous, it's rock solid, there's no chance Aaron Jones can bust. Well, we all know that's wrong because it could be the same workload as last year. But I think Tag's is going in with his eyes open.
Wouldn't it surprise me at all if he's a first-round pick, as Tags has been saying throughout the offseason, this time next year. So, Tags, who are you taking in the 4th round?
So, knowing I just took a little bit of risk, knowing that Connor maybe comes with more risk than, you know, than he did last year, I'll say, you know, with the fact that Jalen Samuels seems to have carved out a role in that offense. But, again, I'm going to grab some stability here at wide receiver, especially in a PPR format. Robert Woods has been just so good and consistent in the Rams offense. And, you know, when I build my teams, it's like I look at this and I'm like, you know, now I'm tied to the Rams, the Packers, and the Steelers, three, you know, high scoring teams. So Robert Woods is my wide receiver too. I'm in.
All right, guys. So my guy did drop to me. I was really nervous there. I'm going to get Chris Carson as my running back one. Everyone knew this was coming. I've got Chris Carson in my top 15 running backs. They're saying they're going to throw the ball to him a little bit more, that he's going to get the majority of the touches. You know, even if Rashad Penny does cut into it a little bit, Mike Davis is leaving 10 touches per game on the field. Chris Carson, as long as he's healthy, he's going to produce. So he's my first running back, and it is back to you, Chris, for round four. You've already got Zeke, Adam Thielen, and T.Y. Hilton. Who are you adding to that trio?
All right, so let's examine who's gone. We just saw the first rookie come off the board. Actually, between you guys, Josh Jacobs went. Kenny Galladay breaks my heart by going 4-6. That stinks. Cooper Kupp breaks my heart a little bit, going 4-7. That stinks. Godwin, James White, and then A.J. Green. We get a little risk-taking on A.J. Green. Let's see. Next on my board, I'm going to probably pick a player I'm higher on than most people. I got Mark Ingram.
All right. Okay, we were talking about him earlier. Actually, Pick Predictor expects that he would go off the board fairly soon, but he's got such a nice floor with that Ravens offense. It's going to run the ball 35 times a game.
Yeah, super nice floor. I've seen him catch the ball in the past. I don't know if that happens. Justice Hill's should be very good at that as well. But so I like the player fine, and especially the thing that he does well in the NFL is the thing that does well for fantasy, which is, you know, score touchdowns, be a power back.
Sure.
If Jordan Howard can be good for fantasy, Mark Ingram's like a much better version of that kind of player, in addition to being just, you know, a little bit more acceleration, a little bit more pass catching. And then, yes, I'd be lying, chief of ignoring situations over here, I'd be lying if I said that the situation doesn't very much appeal to me, because tons of RPOs and just jet sweep motion and stuff to get Mark Ingram not with stack boxes, I think he'll be really good. So that's my off the board pick there. And so now who's gone? We've got after me, we get Lockett and Moore. So man, the wide receivers are absolutely flying off.
Yes, they are.
And it makes me sad that they are. We saw Kelsey go. We saw Kittle go. Oh, we did see Ertz go. Okay. I better pick quick. Did we see Fournette go?
Yeah, Fournette went earlier than I thought. He went at 3-1. I thought I might have a chance at 3-10, but yeah, he went at 3-1.
I paused it to give you a little bit more time, Chris. You've got 26 seconds until the draft restarts.
Cool, because I was running my yammer.
Yeah, and you know that's part of the nature of doing a mock draft, and fortunately on Draft Wizard you can, you know, pause it so that you can talk about it on a podcast or whatever it is you want to do.
Yeah.
Have we seen Mike Williams go?
Mike Williams is on the board.
Okay, so I think that's my choice. I don't know if I feel like it has a huge PPR difference, right? I'm not sure if I feel like, excellent, I'm going to get a whole lot of catches out of Mike Williams. And I recognize that with Williams, there's a concern about touchdown regression if the number of catches stays the same. For me, it's not the number of touchdowns that's going to change. It's the number of catches that are going to change. No Tyrell Williams, but also just the kid is pretty good. This is a Phillip Rivers type of receiver, the Vincent Jackson type of receiver. I actually think Vincent Jackson is a pretty nice comp for what Mike Williams is. And I think I think it's more that the volume of catches go up, and so therefore that we don't have to worry as much about that unsustainable touchdown ratio.
I definitely like the pick. I think it's possible he's like a new Dez Bryant in terms of like a double-digit touchdown guy, where it's like people expect him to regress every year. But Mike Williams is a big man. He's a very big man.
Yes, he is.
And fast for his size. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
So I'm looking at Tag's roster right now, and I want to pick a certain running back. But I think he might still be on the board for me when it gets back to me, because I'm looking at Tag's. He's got James Conner, Aaron Jones. He's going to take David Montgomery if I leave him on the board. So what I'm going to go ahead and do is grab my fourth wide receiver here, Allen Robinson. He's by far the best wide receiver on the board. I've got Christian Kirk behind him, Corey Davis. But for me, Allen Robinson is clearly the number one here in Chicago. Last year, he was recovering from that ACL. Hopefully, he's healthy this year. I love his talent if he is. He's still quite young. And I think Trubisky takes a step forward as well. So Allen Robinson, wide receiver four. I'm putting him in my flex and Tags. It is your pick. Christian Kirk went right between us.
Yeah, Allen Robinson is a good pick. I do believe there's a massive tier between him and the next best receiver on the board. So I do like that pick for your team. I don't like it for mine so much, but I mean, it forces me to go away from the wide receiver position. Now, fortunately, I have this tool in here. It says Pick Predictor, and it's saying David Montgomery, that there's a 35% chance that he's taken if I pass on him here, whereas the tight end I'm debating is O.J. Howard. It's very rare that I get him. And we're at 5'10 now, and I feel like the upside is warranted. So I think I'm going to take the chance at drafting OJ Howard, and I think there's a better chance I get David Montgomery than vice versa. So I'm gonna go ahead and take OJ Howard here. I think that there's upside for him that he
he went right after you.
But OJ Howard, it's very possible that we're talking about OJ Howard in the place where, you know, Kittle and Ertz are being considered right this year. So getting in front of that breakout obviously is a good thing. And now I'm sad.
Well, you're taking Deshaun Watson, because I see Deshaun Watson sitting right there for you, and we all love quarterbacks.
Relatively. Yeah, we do. Oh, man, but no.
Not going to do that.
I am not putting myself on the line like that, Chris. No. But, oh, man, this is so tough, because now I'm at the point where it's like the wide receivers I'm not really sold on. But
dude, just go get my guy, Corey Davis.
I'm in a weird tier of running backs right now. I think I actually might go Corey Davis, actually.
Yeah, baby.
Man, this is tough. I'm going to take Corey Davis. Being it's PPR, it's going to deter me away from going another running back in my flex. In PPR formats, in case you guys didn't know, if all is equal and the positions are coming off the board equally, you probably want a wide receiver in your flex. But if you get, obviously, you get a running back with a, you know, a 15-touch floor, that's a beautiful flex to have. So, Corey Davis, welcome to the squad.
That's a good way to put it. And this is probably, it's funny, this is probably your first share of Corey Davis. Now, Chris, I'm really curious what you think about Corey Davis. Obviously, he's going to get a lot of targets, but what you see on film, do you think he can be a good third-year wide receiver, or does it just depend so much on Mariota?
It depends so much on Mariota. It's funny, I expect it to be lower than the market on Corey Davis, and then it turns out I'm higher than the market, because the market apparently has had enough of this too. Listen, would I love to see more aggressiveness out of Corey Davis? Would I love to see sort of him demand the ball the way DeAndre Hopkins just demands the ball? Would like to see that. I feel like that's maybe missing from his game a little bit, but I truly don't know what we've seen out of Corey Davis, because Mariota's been just not good, not aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So guys, I'm in a little bit of a tough spot here. I would love to get Hunter Henry. He's going to be gone. Otherwise, I'm going into, you know, the death area in tight ends, where I've got to get one of these guys outside the top six. But with that said, I've only got one running back.
Yeah.
And Sony Michel is still sitting there. I'm a big Sony Michel guy.
That's who I was waiting on. That's what I was waiting
on. Well, I'm sorry. I am taking him. He only had 7 receptions last year. They say they're going to get him the ball a little bit more. I'm not sure how much he'll be able to handle it. But right now is RB26 off the board. And my second running back, I got to pull the trigger. I've got him half PPR in my top 16.
I just want to say that going 4 wide receivers in the first 5 rounds, I think the running back's position like went as good as you possibly could have ever hoped. Like getting Carson and Sony Michel, despite that, I think that's the best case scenario for you.
Well, fortunately, I practiced because I wanted to beat you.
Of
and this happened several times where I got Sony Michel and Chris Carson rounds 5 and 4 and 6.
Oh.
And I loved my team, so I went for it.
Oh, darn. 3 quarterbacks went off. Yeah, we saw Deshaun Watson before you, and then Andrew Luck after you, Evan Engram, Baker Mayfield, Dante Pettis, who I like a lot, Will Fuller, maybe I like a little less. I think I'm probably not going to take the tight end here as much as you know.
Well, how about you pick him and trade him to me? Because I'd love to get Hunter Henry here.
Yeah, and so Henry is close on my board, but I'm actually going to take the shot. I have no expectation that it's going to be the same as it was last year. I just don't think Royce Freeman is all that good. I think he's Eddie Lacy. So it's going to be a split. I mean, all backfields are a split. I'm going to take a shot on Philip Lindsay again.
I debated both Sony Michel and Philip Lindsay with my pick, and I wasn't going to say anything because I was hoping they might make it back by some like miracle. But that's a fantastic pick at the end of the 6th round.
Hunter Henry did go.
Yeah, Hunter Henry went, and Cortland Sutton went after me. And with Lindsay, listen, I wouldn't want him to have the full workload, right? He's just too small to handle that for full. But as a everything's a platoon. All but 5 backfields are platoons. So cool. Give me the better half of a platoon, and a PPR I think is more likely to catch it. I'm happy with Lindsay.
Jamal Charles was a platoon. He was always a top 5 pick. Alvin Kamara is a platoon. He had 275 touches last year, and he's being picked 1-1 in a lot of leagues.
190 pounds. This century, I think it's Warwick Dunn and Brian Westbrook, and that's it, right, to have a 1,000-yard season. So it's pretty unprecedented, but... all right, so then next, I probably might have gone Hunter Henry, but I ain't going to do it. Did we lose Calvin Ridley?
Calvin Ridley's long gone, or I would have pulled the trigger, yeah.
Well, we lost Calvin Ridley. All right, that's no good. I know we lost DJ Moore. We lost the tight ends.
Can I interest you in DD Westbrook?
I mean, I like him fine, but it probably wouldn't be the way I'd go.
Yeah.
Pettis would have been lovely. I have some running backs that I actually don't mind here, but I feel like I... thought process-wise, I want to go wide receiver just to kind of feel like I've got 3 and 3 right now. So Sterling Shepard.
He's one that people are discussing quite a bit. And like, so where do you draw the line, Chris? Where do you say that, you know, this guy is going to get volume? It may not be the greatest of volume coming in the Giants offense, but it's volume. Don't we chase that?
So this is just, I'm not a good person to answer this question because I've kind of been in the tank for Sterling Shepard for as long as he's been in the league. I recognize that he's been a slot receiver to this point. My hope was that with Golden Tate in the world there, that then they'd have to use, at least interchange them inside outside a little bit more. And of course, we lose Tate for a month, so I don't know that I'll get to see that for a while. But Shepard strikes me as someone who can win on the outside. Extremely, extremely quick. Not hugely fast, but I think fast enough. If you play bump against Shepard, unless you are an elite corner, I think you're going to get beat. So maybe I don't even think it's just volume. Maybe I think there's actually some appeal there. So actually, I'm close to saying that this is about the level where I want him. I'm early 7th in a PPR, probably in a standard, maybe a little bit later, but I'm going to take Sterling Shepard.
So guys, last year in one of my dynasty leagues, it's actually my most important dynasty league. My buddy was like, dude, we should try this flea flicker site. It looks awesome. And we tried it. Absolutely loved it. If you're tired of dealing with the same old league update issues or missing features, switch to the fantasy site built for commissioners by commissioners. Flea Flicker offers email and live drafts, fast live scoring, an easy, uncluttered interface, year-round access, powerful commissioner tools, dynasty features like taxi squads and rookie drafts, and fast new modern mobile apps. If you love customization, there's over 125 scoring categories and 12 NFL positions, including punters. Plus, there's a new ESPN League import tool you can use to port over your rosters and available history with one easy click. Leagues transitioning from any site can be set up in mere minutes using their easy setup wizard and rostering tools. And Flea Flicker is partnered with the top names in the industry, including us fantasy pros, to provide reliable rankings, news, and projections. Best of all, Flea Flicker is 100% free. So go to fleaflicker.com/pros today to discover why thousands of leagues have switched this season, including mine last season. That's fleaflicker.com/pros. One more time, fleaflicker.com/pros. And it is heading back to me. I'm not even sure who I want at this point. Seventh round is just, it's just ugly. I don't know. I mean, I could go running back here.
You could take your boy Russell Wilson.
No, Russell Wilson is not my boy. He's my number 16 fantasy quarterback this year.
I like Russell Wilson. Maybe I'll get him.
Ooh, Tariq Cohen in a PPR league. Yeah, he's still on the board, and I need a third running back. I got to do that, guys. I'm going Tariq Cohen here.
Ooh, you're passing on your other guy. I'm surprised at this one.
Yeah, but I think he might be there next time. I mean, you can take him if you want. But I'm not taking Latavius Murray over Tariq Cohen in a PPR league.
That's fair.
Can I cop to admitting that if I'd known Tariq Cohen was there, I probably would have taken him over Philip Lindsay?
Oh, bummer. Sorry, man.
There's a few guys there that were sitting there at running back. I didn't expect to be there at the end of the seventh round, but it is a PPR format. So I'm going to go outside of my comfort zone. There's a couple running backs I'd like to get, but there is a wide receiver on the board that's been lighting up camp.
Oh, my. The guy I wanted to drop.
Jacoby Myers.
Even though Newton was dealing with the shoulder injuries last year, we saw Curtis Samuel start to make a move, and he was actually more consistent than DJ Moore from a consistency standpoint. I'm not saying he's the number one, but he's going to give you some splash performances. I will take him here.
That's a good pick, man. I thought you were going to go Geronimo Allison. I was going to be pumped because that would have meant I could have maybe got Curtis Samuel. Now, I like Allison, but I'm kind of disappointed that Samuel's not the one.
Yeah, Allison is right there with him, though. Like, that's the thing. I think that's a fair one to debate. And now we're back on the board.
Anthony Miller as well. He's right there.
Now it's trying to decide between, am I shooting for the ceiling or am I looking for a floor pick? Because I think Latavius Murray's a good floor pick. We've talked about it on the show in that he does have he's probably going to finish as a top 24 running back if he stays healthy. But what's the ceiling? And then you look at someone like Tevin Coleman, now with Jerick McKinnon missing time. I'm not a huge Tevin Coleman guy, but it's like this is where it's forced to choose. Or I look down to Rashad Penny, because these are the three that I would consider in this range. I think that I have them in a similar tier. Oh, man, this is brutal. I will take, man, I'm going to take you.
He's changing his mind back and forth.
I am.
Sounds like me.
It's like the worst. You know, like when you have that, like this is what happens in real drafts.
You're killing me because I really want somebody to drop.
I know. Well, you got Tariq Cohen, and I was like, I was watching that happen. I was like, come on.
Yeah. Honestly, Tariq Cohen is a lot higher for me than Philip Lindsay. I just didn't know he was on the board.
Hold on. Who'd you take? Oh, you took Coleman. Good. Okay. I get Latavius Murray as my RB3. Thank you, Tags.
I left him there for you. And again, this is the best case scenario for Bobby with going that wide receiver heavy. If I knew I could do what you did in this draft, honestly, I think that's an awesome approach.
Should have known, man. Shouldn't have been too busy doing your writing and stuff. Should have prepared for the mock draft.
Probably.
Shouldn't have slept last night.
Yeah. Man, you know, I would love Geronimo Allison here. If Tags would have taken Latavius Murray, I probably wouldn't have been that upset. Because Allison here in, what is it, the eighth round is solid in PPR. I've got him quite a bit higher than a lot of the wide receivers who have gone. But I'll gladly take Latavius Murray here in the eighth round. Chris, it's back to you for the eighth, and it looks like you've got four wide receivers, three running backs. Who are you going with here in round eight? Is this where you go tight end?
I doubt it. I think, yeah I'm just going to, I'm usually going to punt tight end. I mean, to the point where I'm comfortable with getting whoever. I want to load up on the scarcer positions where the differences between the elites and the replacements is just higher. We lost a lot of wide receivers off the board just now. We lost DK Metcalf, who I probably wasn't going to take. DeSean Jackson, meh. Emmanuel Sanders, I don't mind that as a risk, as a non-starting risk. Valdez Scantling, meh. James Washington, meh. Carson Wentz, I'm not taking a quarterback anyway.
Especially not Wentz, hopefully.
I mean, you know, again, if I wind up with Wentz, I'm okay. I'm just not in the eighth round, but, you know, I'm okay with so many different guys. Quarterback is just... That's why we're joking. It's just, I just don't need a quarterback anytime soon. I'm going to take, we talked about upside and Tags. I like your methodology of shooting for upside. I'm going to take Darius Geis because, I mean, not that he has any extra value in a PPR because Chris Thompson is there and Adrian Peterson's certainly there, but there's a world in which Washington is terrible and there's a world in which they go, we got to build for the future. And what's our future? And if Darius Geis is healthy, let's see if he can carry the mail. I don't need to start him right away. So I feel like I'm, you know, sometime in the future, Darius Geis could be an RB1.
He was going in the third, fourth round before his injury last year.
Yeah, I was going to say, did Geis, like, have we received any clarity on his injury over the last couple of days? Because the last I heard was that he hadn't been cleared for full contact yet, which is crazy. Like where are we at with Darius Geis? Like so on a fully side note, Chris, are you like buying Darius Geis in Dynasty right now, or would you be selling him?
I'd be more buy than sell, but I'd probably be in a hold. I was never the giant fan, even when he was before they tore the ACL. The third year at LSU was significantly worse than the second year, and that sort of always scares me a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I just, there's a potential for him to be the 225-pound back who can play all three downs still. And if that's not going to happen this year, but if it were to happen, he's one of the rare guys. And so, yeah. All right, so it's back to me. We lost Russell Wilson. We lost Miles Sanders. I probably would have thought about Miles Sanders there. That's pretty late.
Yeah, it's the latest I've seen Miles Sanders go off in a mock draft for a while.
So let's see I might have taken Wilson there. I got to be honest. I'm gonna take a little PPR laxative. I'm pretty sure he's there. Oh no, he's not there. I was gonna say Larry Fitzgerald. He's gone.
Yeah, he usually lasts. He's a good one.
I will take a tight end. I bet he's there. Yeah, I will take a tight end right now. I like him.
Is it Vance or Njoku?
Njoku.
Yeah. Okay.
I actually have him right about here.
I seem to recall that you liked him.
Yeah, this is a fair value for him. In a feeling like, okay, he's not proven anything in the league yet, but with crazy athletic upside, I think between him and Evan Engram and OJ Howard, those are probably the three fastest tight ends in the league. If you're going to, I just don't buy the whole too many mouths to feed. If you're going to say that the Browns offense is going to be legitimately good and Baker Mayfield deserves to be a top X quarterback, then... I mean, do the Rams have too many mouths to feed? Do the Chiefs have too many mouths to feed? Like, if you think it's a good offense, you know, I'm okay owning a piece of it.
I like Njoku this year. Last year, I wasn't buying. But this year, I think I'm more inclined to because it's like Odell Beckham changes the way a defense plays you. And losing Duke Johnson, it's going to take away some of the targets. And, like, the RB and tight end targets are the ones that usually correlate. And losing Duke Johnson, let's be real. I mean, Nick Chubb's a great football player. He's like a borderline first-round pick for me. But he's not the receiver that Duke Johnson is. So some of those targets could go to Njoku. And I love Baker Mayfield, so...
And, you know, if you're looking at all the tight ends in this range after the top six, I don't think there's any question that Njoku has more upside for sure than any of these guys remaining. So
yeah.
I think that's a solid pick at this stage in the draft. I'm really surprised that he did last as long as he did. Now, I've got two options here. I'm going to pass on one because I think there's a better chance he drops to me than Anthony Miller, which is who I'm taking. I know Tags was licking his chops.
You're taking Anthony Miller?
I'm taking Anthony Miller, man. I almost took him last round.
I wish I could reach through this microphone right now.
Get out of here. I've got three of your Chicago Bears on my team, and you're going to be rooting for my team to win the championship. This is like the first time we've been doing a draft, and Tags is like super jealous of my draft. And watch this be the one where he finally beats me.
I'm not really happy that you just took Anthony Miller.
love it.
Anthony Miller is one of my favorites.
I almost clicked the wrong button and drafted Austin Eckler. That would have just been classic.
Well, it's funny you say that. That's exactly who I'm going to take here. Because Eckler, no matter what, like if Melvin Gordon holds out, if he doesn't hold out, Eckler has flex value. And like he plays in a good offense. That team is going to run the ball more than ever. We've seen it trending that way because like that defense just continually gets better. So Eckler on my bench is fantastic. I might swap him out with Tevin Coleman at times, to be honest. And then just because Bobby,
Chicago Bears just went, by the way, in the ninth round,
just because Bobby was a douche last round, I'm going to, go ahead and take his,
don't,
I'm going to take his don't. Guy here and I'm going to take Kiki QT.
Oh, okay. Sure, man. You can have him.
This is like mock drafting with a married couple. I tell you,
yeah, it seriously is half the time. Yes.
You know, if you would have taken my first guy, I would have taken QT. What do you think? I mean, obviously, we don't know when he's going to come back, but do you think he's the number two over Fuller in that Houston Texans offense, Chris?
I don't have him ranked that way right now, and it's not so much about the injury, because we don't know. We don't really know the severity of it. It's more, I need to see him run routes down the field, and that may have just been the offense last year. It might not have been his fault. He might be capable of it, but if it's all going to be 3-yard dump, I think some ridiculous 80% of his targets were under 5 yards last year. If that's it, it doesn't interest me that much, but it might not be it.
Yeah. You know what? I would take that in a PPR league because that's worth 1.5 points.
It is, but if it's four of them or five of them a game, it's just not going to get you anywhere, you know?
All right, guys. So this is what I'm doing. There comes a point where you have to be willing to take a quarterback if they fall far enough. Cam Newton in the 10th round, guys. Every single year, he's played at least 16 games. He's been a top four fantasy quarterback. Last year, he was number four when his shoulder was injured. I'm not sure what's going to happen. Maybe he's not healthy. Maybe I just drop him and play the streaming game at this point. It's not that much of a sunken cost. So I'm going to pull the trigger on Cam Newton. And, you know, if he's healthy, he's someone that I think I can plug in pretty much every week and don't have to play the streaming game.
No, that's fine. You can take Cam.
I really thought you were going to take Cam Newton just to spite me.
I haven't drafted him. I understand why people like want to draft him. I really do, but I'm not going to be one of them.
So if you knew I wasn't going to take QT, would you have taken someone else?
Probably. Okay. I did it just because you took Anthony Miller. It's like, yeah. I'm going to be real about that because Anthony Miller was my pick.
All right. Who are you going with, Chris?
So actually, Matt Breida going the pick right before me broke my heart a little bit. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah. Ouch.
I think I will take Duke Johnson.
Mm-hmm. That's just a good spot for him.
Yeah. In the name of another fantasy like PPR laxative, I just never buy the argument that says, oh, that team just doesn't throw to running backs. And I'll grant you, Houston threw the fewest number of passes to running backs all last year. Each of the last 3 years, they've been bottom five in throwing to running backs. And guess who they didn't have on their team in those three seasons? You know, I think if you trade for Duke Johnson, I can't say that automatically means you're throwing 15 times a game to Duke Johnson, but I think you're willing to. When Arian Foster was there, he did overlap with Bill O'Brien a little bit. He threw to Arian Foster because he had Arian Foster. So I think Duke Johnson, at least as a bye week fill in, enough of a I can get something out of it kind of thing.
And Tags and I believe that Duke Johnson, if anything was to happen to Lamar Miller, he could run on early downs. The Cleveland Browns just never used him that way. We were all begging for it to happen when Isaiah Crowell was their starter.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a little small for it, right? But and yet still, yeah. 100% agree, could happen. So what am I down to? I have two bench spots. I still need a quarterback and a defense. So obviously I'm going defense here. Just kidding.
He knows how to work it.
Yeah, I'm not going quarterback, or I don't need to go quarterback. I don't need to go defense.
Yeah, at this point, if you haven't gone quarterback, you can get Jared Goff, Kyler Murray, Jameis Winston, three, four rounds from now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
How about Nyheim Hines? I bet he hasn't gone.
Yep, he is there, and he's the third running back available left on the board. Behind Deion Lewis, LeSean McCoy.
Nyheim Hines is another, a little bit of a laxative there. Not that I think he's any threat to Marlon Mack, but we do realize that Nyheim Hines is like an all-world track star, like a sprinter. The fact that that kid didn't make a single play last year over 28 yards either means he's the worst vision in the world. He's Mr. Magoo out there, or he was just like sort of unlucky, and with more time, he's just going to make more big plays. I think he's 80% of Tariq Cohen.
I think that's a good way to put it. I've said before that I think Nyheim Hines is one of the most impressive pass-catching running backs in the NFL. Got a lot of hate for it on Twitter, but I don't know if they've seen the Colts play because Nyheim Hines is a great receiver.
There you go.
Wow, guys. So I was fully expecting for Vance McDonald to be gone, and I would take Jamison Crowder. Jamison Crowder's gone, and I'm taking Vance McDonald. Again, I was planning on just waiting at tight end and legitimately maybe not even drafting one. so that I could get a high upside running back. I've talked about this before. If I'm planning on streaming in position, it's not going to make any difference if I draft him in the 15th round or if I just pick them up 5 minutes before the game starts. So I want a high upside running back, somebody along the lines of, you know, Alexander Mattison. If something happens to Dalvin Cook, maybe Madison takes over. Chase Edmonds, if David Johnson goes down. And then I've got myself a James Conner, Alvin Kamara type of situation. Maybe not quite that good, but so I was just going to wait and stream, pick up Jeff Swaim to start against the Chiefs and dump him after week one. But I'm going to go with Vance McDonald. You dropped all the way to the 11th round. Let's do it.
That is fair, sir. I'm happy that Kareem Hunt went 11-7. Thank you for taking a guy that legitimately does not belong on a draft board.
Yeah.
This is tough. This is where it's like, do I shoot for upside or do I take a relative? Yeah, I'm not doing the safe bet. Deion Lewis is safe, but I don't think there's much upside there. Like, if Derrick Henry's out for the year, obviously there'd be something, but I'm going to go with the upside here. I'm just going to snag Carlos Hyde. He's been bad the last couple years, but every single running back that plays for Andy Reid is just RB1, RB2. And by the way,
He's been bad, but he's produced whenever he plays because he gets so much volume.
Well, and he scores a touchdown. That's what he did for Cleveland last year. That first month, he scored a touchdown, so he was okay.
Yeah, and I want to be clear about this. Obviously, Jared Goff is still there, my number 7 quarterback. I would have taken him here, but I looked at my draft board on the Draft Wizard, and I was able to see that the teams behind me going on the turn here is they have Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers, so they're not going to be taking quarterbacks. If they do, I'm going to be really upset. that's happened before. Let's be real about it. If the devs were listening, they'd make it happen. But I'm going to go with Carlos Hyde here, and then I'm going to grab Jared Goff as long as he's there. I mean, and he should be.
I've definitely seen it happen on Draft Wizard many times, and fortunately has not happened to me on this pod. I feel like everything's gone perfectly from my mock draft so far.
I'm not mad about mine at all. Like, I mean, I miss having one of those top, like, you know, 3 or 4 players on the draft board. That's always nice to have, Chris. But
well, except for mine might be the 50th best.
But I'm not mad with my roster right now at all.
All right, just a few picks left, so it's a great time to introduce you to one of our newest sponsors, Sideboss. Fantasy football fans, boom, listen up. Sideboss is offering a free-to-play, season-long NFL handicapping contest with $50,000 in cash prizes. Pick 5 games per week for 17 weeks and earn your title as the boss with a $15,000 grand prize. Sideboss will be awarding quarterly and weekly prizes throughout the season. Any week in the NFL, go 5-0, win some dough. If you haven't participated in handicapping contests before, you're missing out. Now is your chance to be rewarded and earn the title of Donkey Boss with a last place prize of $1,000. In addition to our free-to-play pick'em contest, Sideboss will also be offering pay-to-play games throughout the season. Go to sideboss.com, click to play the 2019 Pro Football Pick'em Contest, and enter promo code FANTASYPROS, all one word, upon sign-up. That's sideboss.com, promo code FANTASYPROS. Man, so I don't know what to do here. It's getting kind of ugly. Chris Thompson, I think, could be valuable in PPR, but I don't really want a depth piece here. I feel like I've got safety in Murray and Cohen as my RB3 and RB4. I've got plenty of depth with Allen Robinson, Anthony Miller as my wide receiver 4 and wide receiver 5. So I want to shoot for the moon here. I'm going to go ahead and grab Justice Hill early. I don't know if he would be there on the way back, but I'm not taking any chances because he's my guy. He's my number one must-have based on draft position. Maybe Latavius Murray, it's really close between those two, but especially in PPR, I think Justice Hill is not only has big upside, but I think he's safe too.
Well, I probably would have taken him because I have Mark Ingram.
Oh,
I
was thinking, sorry, Chris.
No, it's fine. I was thinking about it.
I would have been really mad at you if you would have taken him. Probably said you're not allowed to come on the podcast anymore.
I probably would have taken him there. I certainly had it in my mind. So we went through just a whole bunch of backup running backs there. Ito Smith and Adrian Peterson, Devin Singletary, Damian Harris. Did Devin Singletary go before LeSean McCoy? I don't know if that happened, but not that. No, LeSean McCoy went.
It looks like McCoy's gone, but I did not notice it when it happened.
Yeah, McCoy went at 11-4, and then Singletary went at 12-7.
You think Singletary's starting?
No, I don't really have a strong feeling and kind of don't care.
Yeah.
That's the correct take.
Yeah, I don't really care. So I'm down to, do I want a bench spot or do I want a quarterback? So the quarterback I'm going to take eventually is going to make you guys mad and probably make me not do well in the grading of this.
It's Brady, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. So I'm going to wait on him till the very last pick.
Unless Tag snipes you because he gets mad at me or something.
What do we have for upside? Well, no, I think I go again, right? I'll be okay. You know, I don't mind this top recommended receiver, so I'll just go for Devin. Devin Funchess is a dog, is not good at football, but what do I care at this point? So do I recognize what could go right for Devin Funchess? I mean, I think we all recognize what could go right, so I'll just throw him in there at the end and probably be frustrated with him and wind up cutting him because he's bad.
You've got, I'm looking at your roster right now, Chris. You've got a couple Indianapolis Colts receivers. You got three Indianapolis Colts.
I really do. Here's the thing. Funchess is just a luxury item just in case.
Yeah.
He's waiver fodder as far as I'm concerned. I certainly am counting on Hilton. And Nyheim Hines feels, again, like that PPR laxative where I don't want to have to use him. Maybe there's some matchup weeks where I don't feel great about Philip Lindsay at the flex and I can use Hines. But I have Duke Johnson for that. And then I have Sterling Shepard and Darius Geis for more upside for that. So two of those three Colts. Let's not get carried away. And of course, Andrew Luck will be announced out for the season, and I will feel bad about this much.
Of course. All right, round 13 for you. So quarterback Tom Brady?
I am going to go Brady. And, you know, I get it. I'm on an island. I just don't feel like it's over. And
yeah, he was QB2 in fantasy football 2 years ago without, I mean, obviously he's never been a runner, but
right.
Yeah, he can still get it done.
I'm going to wait and wait and wait and feel okay about it. And if it turns out that he's, you know, at the end, or if the system is somehow now changed to where he can't, isn't allowed to do what he has always done, obviously I'll cut him.
Yeah. Maybe the NFL will just, you know, bar him from the league because they apparently they hate the Patriots so much.
Stop being good. Stop being good, Brady.
All right, guys, I've got one more bench spot. So obviously I'm taking a backup quarterback here. You know, actually what I'm going to do is,
actually
I can't decide between Chase Edmonds. I've already got five running backs, and I'd love to get Chase Edmonds for upside. And plus, they're going to run so many plays. I think he's going to have a lot of touches as well, maybe like an Austin Eckler light. But I'm going to go with somebody that I think has a lot of upside because Ryan Fitzpatrick is an absolute gunslinger. And actually, when Devontae Parker has played, he's been pretty good. The problems have been his injuries and Adam Gase. Adam Gase is gone. The quarterback is upgraded. And now Devontae Parker's healthy. We'll see how long that lasts, but I think that he has a chance of...
Are you really taking a backup quarterback? I thought you were kidding.
No, Devontae Parker, not Ryan Fitzpatrick. No. If he did Although that. I love Jameis Winston. I wouldn't mind having Jameis Winston right now, but not as a backup.
Hold on. Don't put that past Bobby, though. Bobby has done that in order to try and beat me in this thing before.
But the thing is, we changed the algorithm so it no longer has any effect. So.
Yeah. So I'm going to, in fact, basically the difference between my pick right now is not going to make a difference because the guy I'm going to take with my last pick will be there. So I'm going to take the Chargers defense here.
All right.
Alrighty.
And then, now that it's back to me, as I mentioned, he will be there, and I don't know why people aren't drafting him much sooner, is Mike Davis. Mike Davis is he's listed as the Bears starter right now, and I understand that David Montgomery is going to pass him. That's fine. But Mike Davis is one of the best guys to have on your bench. Whereas something happens to David Montgomery, Mike Davis is like legitimately an RB1, RB2 option every single week, and it's possible that David Montgomery, like, that we saw week one against backups, and I like David Montgomery. Look, I don't want to put him down, but at the same time, Mike Davis, we've seen him do it in the NFL. He can catch passes as well, so I don't know why he's being so overlooked. Like, he's going outside the top 200 players. I think he's an ideal bench stash.
So I'll just say I did Film Room Heroes on my podcast recently, where I just tried to pick out five players, independent of situation, just people who surprised me because I watched film on everybody this summer to write the almanac, and Mike Davis was one of them because I don't think people realize that pretty good pedigree at South Carolina, not a small guy, probably doesn't run with as much power as his weight, but he has a little thump behind him and catches it really well.
There you go.
You know, if I'm going with a week one defense, I really like Cleveland going up against Tennessee, so I wouldn't mind taking him here, but I'm sticking true to my guns. We've still got 3 weeks until the season starts. I'm not drafting a defense. I'll pick up the Cowboys. They'll still be on the waiver wire here, you know, by the time week one starts. I'm going to hold on to Chase Edmonds. If anything happens to David Johnson, I've got maybe an RB1, at least a high-end RB2, someone who's going to get a ton of volume, who can catch, true three down back. And if not, I just cut him loose and I pick up the Cowboys. Or maybe I hold on to Chase Edmonds and drop Devontae Parker once I figure out what's going on in Miami.
I am going to take a defense just because I've lost track of who's been taken, so I'll just take it. But that strategy doesn't bother me. Actually, what I ought to do is take Alfred Morris, because obviously a very high-end handcuff to Zeke Elliott. Tony Pollard had like 78 carries last year, half of them out of the Wildcat. Mm-hmm. He's not a running back in the NFL. I don't think he is. I can't take Alfred Morris.
I agree that Alfred Morris would be the guy. They've been talking him up so much too, saying he's the perfect fit for their scheme. I don't know how much I buy into that, but you watch him play, he's a good running back.
Except for last year with the 49ers, he was garbage. You know, here's the thing. If Zeke Elliott isn't playing, Alfred Morris not going to help me. Not going to save me. I need Zeke on this team. So I'll just take the, I will take the Patriots defense. I'll be a Patriots homer all the way. It's fine. It's a good defense.
And it's fun to root for your guys. So we're going to get our grade now. And Chris, why don't you tell us what you got first for your grade?
I got a 86 out of 100.
Hey, that's not bad. Okay, so you got a solid B. Tags, solid B. How about yourself, man?
I beat you. That's all that matters.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Go ahead and give your score.
I got a 90, A minus. Wow, I really thought that I won. Tags got first place? What in the world?
I did, 95 out of 100. Gentlemen, so Bobby.
Wow, the most handsome man in fantasy football, Mike Taglier.
Bow down to the most handsome man. no, but in reality, I like I said, I did like my team considering where I was drafting from. I think it's pretty rare to get a score that high from the 10th spot, but... I must thank you guys for allowing certain players to fall to me. I mean, I guess maybe QT was the pick all along, Bobby.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what. I was looking at your team. I loved my team. I can't believe the guys that fell to me, but I was looking at your team. That's a team I would draft. It's a good-looking squad. Why don't you read down your roster, Tags?
Yeah, so my quarterback's Jared Goff. My running backs are James Conner, Aaron Jones, Tevin Coleman, Austin Eckler, Carlos Hyde, Mike Davis. I'm pretty running back heavy just because obviously I feel like I have some studs at wide receiver up top. My wide receiver is Devontae Adams, Robert Woods, and then Corey Davis, Curtis Samuel, and Kiki QT. My tight end is OJ Howard, and my defense is the Chargers.
That's a good squad. Chris, who do you have on your team?
Yeah, I mean, I got to feel like if instead of Philip Lindsay, I'd known Tariq Cohen was there, it would probably be a 97.
You would have been the most handsome expert.
And then,
again, it's a second straight year.
And then also I realized taking Tom Brady, the system is just going to go, it's laughing. Like the row of the android is laughing in the background going, well, this is the RQB 20. What are you doing? So let's see, a quarterback, I have Brady. No backup quarterback, obviously. I have Zeke. The whole thing rests on whether Zeke plays. Engram will play alongside him. And then backup running backs would be Lindsay, Geis, Duke Johnson, Naeem Hines. Wide receivers are Hilton, Thielen, Mike Williams. We're going to back him up with Sterling Shepard and Devin Funchess. The tight end is Njoku, and the defense is New England.
Usually when we get guys who come on our podcast and do a mock draft with us, Chris, I'm like, what in the world are they doing? Like two or three times. You didn't have a single pick like that for me. Every single one, I was like, yeah, you can definitely see that in this spot. I think your squad is really solid. Here's my team. I got Cam Newton, quarterback. Running backs, Chris Carson and Sony Michel. And let's see, my backups, Tariq Cohen, Latavius Murray, Justice Hill, Chase Edmonds, basically the greatest running back core of all time. Wide receiver, Julio Jones, Juju Smith-Schuster, Stephon Diggs, Allen Robinson, Anthony Miller, Devontae Parker. Holy cow, how did this team lose to Tags?
Yeah,
those first three receivers are bonkers. Stupid on good. The same team. I mean, that's bonkers. Yeah.
Yes, they are. Yeah. And then I've got Vance McDonald. So I don't know if Tags like hacked into the algorithm and changed things, but I definitely won. I think it's pretty clear I'm the most handsome expert.
I'll take the win, but I will admit, however, that I like your roster. It's very well balanced. And like I said, best case scenario, passing on running backs, ending up with Chris Carson and Sony Michel with those receivers. I'm happy, dude.
So Zeke plays. Who has the best running backs on this trio here? I mean, come on.
You do.
Zeke's the number one. So
yeah,
he's my number one player if he plays. And I really hope we get some clarity on this because like there's a report that he's at his lowest weight since his rookie year or something. So he's in shape, ready to go. I love Zeke this year if he plays.
Usually I don't like that for a running back, but for Zeke, yeah, he was getting a little bit chunky. So I think this is good for him.
A little chunky. I wish I was in chunky shape like Zeke Elliott.
All right, guys, that's all for today's show. Chris, as always, it's a pleasure when you come on. And what do you want to plug, buddy?
Just follow me at Harris Football and look at harrisfootball.com. Do a podcast 5 days a week. I believe as of our recording this, I have 91 left to go for the rest of the season. So I'm countdown, wow, real close to being done with the season. And then, yeah, I've got the Harris Football Almanac, which I know you guys see, and it's pretty involved.
All right, and I want to say thanks to the sponsors of today's show, Sideboss. Click to play the 2019 Pro Football Pick'em Contest and enter the promo code FANTASYPROS upon sign up at sideboss.com. And thanks to Flea Flicker, the site built for commissioners by commissioners. Check out fleaflicker.com/pros today and discover why thousands of leagues have switched to this free site this season. And also NFL Game Pass, where you can get a 7-day free trial of NFL Game Pass by going to NFL.com/fantasypros. And don't forget to check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros and our draft simulator at fantasypros.com/simulator. And if you want to take advantage of our offers, it's fantasypros.com/offers. Make a $10 deposit at one of our partner DFS sites, and you'll get 6 months of our Hall of Fame package for free at fantasypros.com/offers. And don't forget the George Kittle helmet giveaway ends this Friday night, so hurry up at fantasypros.com/contest. For Mike Taglier, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football.
I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a pool of your love. I don't even know how the chemistry works when your pool's out kicking in the dirt, kicking in the sand and stirring up trouble.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.